Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday. Child support and payments like that very much in the news this week, of course. Nadine Higgins wants to have a little say about Sir John's Aussie honour, the caramilk sensation, and things that are also an unusual colour, Ed Sheeran. His appearance on Game of Thrones, some fake news around that. But before any of this, all the councils calling for a plastic bag ban or tax, except for one.
Why haven't you signed it?
Look, I'm all for it's great what the warehouse is doing, it's great what Pack and Save are doing, it's great where people are making people pay for plastic bags at 10 to 15 cents a bag, and that money's going to charity. And it's, there's no other costs on top. But if we try and put this into legislation, you'll end up, it's another tax on the people, and that tax will cost more to collect than what you'll get for it. It's just loading people up. I appreciate that there's a huge landfill issue, and that plastic bags are only 0.1% of that. And there's all sorts of things that go in the ground that don't rot, don't decompose, and we need to be looking at the bigger issue, not just plastic bags.
Won't this, though, to some degree, change the behaviour of people? When you're asked, do you want to pay 5 or 10 cents for a bag, a lot of people will say, no, I'll just take my piece of clothing or whatever it is that they're buying and leave the shop. Isn't it about behaviour as much as it is the tax?
It is another tax on people. It is a tax that we have to administer, and taxes are collected by central government. If central government were to legislate to do this, that's fine. It's not a place for councils to be doing it.
Okay, so it's time to play Guess the Mayor. Who? Which mayor? Yes, that's right. Hamilton's mayor, Andrew King, loves a plastic bag, as do I, also from Hamilton. I mean, environmental issues have to take second place to what are we supposed to put in our kitchen bin? I mean, we're just going to be buying packets of bin liners otherwise, and then that really is a single-use plastic bag. Anyway, I think I've made my views pretty clear on that one, and I think Andrew King has as well. Let's move on to child support now. Another guy called Andrew rang into Kerry and Mark yesterday.
Years ago, like 15-odd years ago, I had a staff person who's... wife had shot through, and we used to have to take a third of his salary out for child support.
Because she left,
and so he had three children and that she took with her. And she entered into another relationship with a guy, but they weren't living together, so she stayed on the DPB, and she used to take the kids on an overseas holiday on the child support. And in the end, he shot through because he had no way of providing for a new family in this country.
I guess under the law, he's still liable for those children, isn't he? But you'd think but it should be like when you're on the DPB, you can't take a man into your house. So surely you can't enter into a relationship. Mind you, they're still his kids, aren't they?
Oh, look, I can't comprehend not wanting to provide for my children. Mm. Now, I have four children, and I've been married a long time, and I've raised my children and all the rest of it, but I just can't comprehend how somebody could say, I don't want to provide for my children, I don't want to be involved in their lives. That, to me, is incomprehensible. But on the other side of the coin, in this person's case, it was a situation not of his making, and he couldn't, the system would not allow him to rebuild his life.
I mean, I certainly prefer not to be involved in my children's lives. The trouble is, they're in my house. I mean, and I'm not talking about just some of the time at the moment. I mean, it's school holidays. Bloody nightmare. I'm trying to go home and lie on the couch and drink bourbon and melt cheese on things, you know? I mean, I'm still doing that, but I feel a little bit self-conscious about it. Anyway, John Key being named Australian of the Year or whatever it was, how does Nadine Higgins feel about this? She's standing in for Rachel Smalley.
This honour is less to do with our country's special relationship and maybe more to do with the special relationship between John Key and Malcolm Turnbull. Can you honestly tell me that he'd be receiving this honour from an Australian Prime Minister of a different flavour? Perhaps I am being unfair. Do let me know what you think. But it's not all ocean explorers and near saints on the list. There are even other New Zealanders. Dame Kiri Te Kanawa, Sir Geoffrey Palmer, who was briefly Prime Minister, and former Deputy Prime Minister Sir Brian Tallboys have also been honoured in years gone by. But the thing about that list I note is that they've all already been honoured at home. They already have titles. And I struggle, and this is probably what gets to the heart of why this doesn't sit right with me, I struggle with the idea that you should be honoured just for doing your job. I feel the same way about businessmen, unless they've completely changed the game. I feel the same way about sportsmen, unless they've gone above and beyond, because there are plenty of accolades and financial rewards for doing those things already. John Key is already Sir John by virtue of being PM for 8 years, and I wasn't so sure about that, although it is consistent with what's been offered to every other former Prime Minister. But now it's an international award for fostering better relations with Australia, when fostering better relations with any neighbour and major trading partner would surely be on the list of KPIs for any leader of any country. So enjoy your day, Sir John. I'm sure it'll be a good one. I just can't work out what you've done to earn it, but enjoy it all the same.
It's a hard one, isn't it? Should you accept honours you don't really think you deserve deep down? I would accept money that I didn't think I deserved deep down. I mean, I do really. I get paid. I sort of get paid to do this. It's becoming less and less clear exactly what I am getting paid for. I do get paid, and most of the things I do I quite enjoy. And sometimes I feel like, should you get paid for things that you enjoy? It's like being paid to do your hobby. So it's nice to be me. I'm just basically skiting about my life there. I'm sorry about that for all of you who hate your jobs. So let's move on quickly. Why don't you go out and buy yourself some caramel milk and make yourself feel better?
Now, you've brought back one of the old classics with quite surprising results.
Yeah, you could say that. We've brought back the golden treasure, caramel milk, which is back for a limited time.
Caramel. Now, I'm confused. How does it differ to, say, Caramello?
Yeah, good question. So, well, it's effectively, this is a product people may actually remember from the 90s. It was created in 1994. It's a smooth, creamy texture, a golden caramel colour, but it's effectively a block of caramel. So it's sweetened condensed milk formulation, effectively.
Oh, stop it. Right, OK. Well, a block costs here about $3 at the warehouse, but it's going for up to $32 on eBay. Did you anticipate this would happen?
No, it's fair to say we did not anticipate. We knew it would be popular. We actually travelled the country last year with an innovation shed asking Kiwis what flavour they'd like to see. And so caramel really came back as an idea out of that initiative. So we knew it would be popular, but certainly a block selling for $30 on eBay across the ditch was a massive surprise to us, and it has certainly got a few eyebrows raising, that's for sure.
I'm not a fan. It's got a weird consistency. It doesn't. It's, you know, most chocolate, you know, tastes like chocolate. This does not taste like chocolate to me. It's something else. It's sort of solid condensed milk is basically what it seems to be. Which is not really... I'm not a big caramel kind of a guy. Where's the cheese-flavoured chocolate? Where's that? Melted cheese on toast chocolate. Get on to that innovation chamber or whatever it is. Hey, we're going to finish up with Marcus spreading lots of fake news about Ed Sheeran and Game of Thrones and Twitter. I'm going to correct him all after he said all the incorrect things.
Ed Sheeran's deleted his Twitter account because he's getting so much flack for his cameo in Game of Thrones. People are hating it. And I just saw the clip. I'm not a Game of Thrones man. It looked like Where's Wally with him popping his head up. I've never watched a second in my life, but I hated it. Just from seeing that image. I don't know why these people feel they've got to be everywhere. Ed Sheeran's one of those. You know, you're selling millions of albums. Start up people's TV programs. Seems impolite.
So right there, that's the whole problem with the world, and certainly with cyberbullying. A lot of haters only get involved in an issue out of context. So Marcus just admitted just then that he doesn't watch the program, and yet he's just watched that one isolated bit of it and decided that he doesn't like Ed Sheeran on it, having no idea whether what he did fit in the program. So that's weird. He didn't give up Twitter because of anything to do with Game of Thrones. He was being bullied last week. Got it last week. So not only is that fake news, it's old news. Also, he wasn't bad. I mean, he was just an extra singing a song. I mean, if you're going to hire somebody to sing a song on a program, aren't you better hiring somebody who can actually sing? I mean, I agree with Marcus to an extent. I'm not a fan of actors getting involved in other, I mean, singers. But any kind of performer, actually, celebrity, getting involved in things outside their specialist area. But sometimes they can. Justin Timberlake is a great actor. He's great looking, great singer, great dancer. Yeah, I hate him. Anyway, just thought I needed to clear that up. Really enjoyed that first episode of Game of Thrones. Although I did, because of all the hype about Ed Sheeran that I'd heard about before watching it, I did spend a stupid amount of time looking out for him, and he didn't come in until quite late in the episode. And then my monster number two came in at that stage, very excited because she heard that it was Ed Sheeran on, and she'd heard about him being on, and she said, how's he going? And I said, well, I think he's probably about to be killed. And she said, why? And I said, I think he's about to try and rape that girl. Because that's the kind of stuff that happens on Game of Thrones. I was wrong about both those things. As usual, Game of Thrones does the opposite of what you think is going to happen. I mean, it might happen in the next episode. Anyway, I'll let you know. Goodness me, I've waffled on about Game of Thrones a long time. I'm sorry, I've made this podcast, which was actually going to come up a little bit short, really long. Thanks for listening anyway, if you're still with me. Well done with your commitment there. And I'll see you back here again, maybe with a normal length one tomorrow.